Welcome to Tucker Center Talks with Dr. Nicole Lavoie. This week, I talk with Tucker Center Research Assistant Anna Gorovich about the latest data in our Women in College Coaching Report Card that we do in collaboration with WeCoach. Anna knows all about the data because she quarterbacked the entire process this year. What grade does your institution, sport, or conference get for the percentage of women head coaches of women's teams? Tune in and find out. You might be surprised. You're listening to Tucker Center Talks, a podcast from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, director of the Tucker Center, a first of its kind research center and thought leader around girls and women in sport. Tucker Center Talks is a place where I talk to, amplify, and support my colleagues, amazing women who study gender and sport, and we talk about our research and ways we're changing the world through the context of sport to be a better place. We let the data tell the story. And today, we are going to talk a lot about our Women in College Coaching Report Card data, which is now in its 12th year and invited back by popular demand from our last reboot episode is Tucker Center Research Assistant Anna Gorovich.
Hello, Dr. Lavoie. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Welcoming me back.
Yes, we are just having you right back since you talked about your work on menstrual health and female athletes in our last episode. So if you haven't tuned in, go back and listen to that. But we are going to talk about the Women in College Coaching Report Card this year because you quarterbacked the report card this year, which was a massive undertaking because we did all Division One.
Yes, we haven't done all Division One since 2021, 2022, when Hannah Silva Breen led that report card. And in between, we've been doing some Select 7 report cards where you just focus on seven of the top most prominent powerful conferences in Division One sport. So yeah, 33 conferences, almost 3,700 coaches from across the country that we tracked this year. And we had over 30 folks. We started this, I guess, in November of last year. So November 2023 started this journey. And almost a year long, and 30 different people from high school students at St. Paul Academy to our directed study team at Tucker Center, and some grad student help, as well as our summer interns. Lots of folks had their hands in this report and were super, super important to making it happen, especially Elizabeth Overberg, who is one of our directed study teammates and current senior at the University of Minnesota, who was the second author in this report and had a huge, huge impact on making this possible. So thank you first to all those folks that made this possible this year.
Yay. A round of applause.
Insert round of applause sound.
Yeah. Okay. So those who do not know about our Women in College Coaching Report Card that we partner and collaborate with multiple stakeholders on the Tucker team, but also WeCoach. And the purpose of the report card, which is now in its 12th year, is multifaceted. And when I first started the report card, I was really uncertain the impact it would make. But if you want to read about all the impacts report carders make, we have this well documented in the report that can be downloaded at tuckercenter.org, and it's free. A lot of great information in there. But here's why we started the report card. We wanted to pick up the work of Acosta and Carpenter, who had been documenting women in leadership in college sports since the early 70s, post Title IX. So we wanted to continue and document and benchmark that. We wanted to track effectiveness of initiatives aimed at moving the numbers for women in sport coaching. We wanted to bring awareness through data and really add to the national discussion on this important issue. And honestly, we really wanted to hold decision makers accountable in intercollegiate athletics by giving them a grade A through F for the percentage of their women head coaches coaching women. And it has been an interesting journey.
Interesting for sure. Yeah, I think something I heard the other day, actually, where I immediately thought of the report card was you can't change what you don't track. And I found that really powerful with a lot of the research that we do, but especially with the report card, is that sometimes, obviously, it's a lot of labor doing this report every single year. And it takes a lot of time to look up all these coaches and to see who's there and who's changed and do all the coding and everything. But we're not going to see change in the landscape for women coaches in the collegiate world if we don't track it. And so that was a good reminder of why we do this every year.
Absolutely. And I do want to say, and we say this in the report, that, you know, counting women within an occupational landscape like college athletics is one data point. Even schools that get an A, we don't know the experiences of those women at that institution, but at least it's one marker that's explicit that we can track.
Right. We can't solve the culture for women in sport through this one data point, but it definitely shines a light on how we can start to do that in the future.
Absolutely. And so for the 10th year in a row, maybe 11th, the percentage of women head coaches of women's teams has gone up. And what's really cool about this data is that when we first started the report card, it would go up 0.1%, 0.2, 0.3. And now in year 10, 11, 12, it's starting to increase in greater increments. So from 2 years ago in the Division I data, it went up to 45.3%, which was an increase of 1.9. And that was exciting.
It was exciting because, like you said, we were so used to these 0.2, 0.3 increases. But on average, obviously, we did it for this data covers 2 years, over 2 years. So that means on average that each year the rate of women coaches increased by 0.95. I have to say it's a bit frustrating not to have a even whole number, but we will take what we can get. I would have loved to see that 2%, not 1.9, but still something to celebrate this year in the report card.
Yeah. And I always say any increase is a win because we didn't go backwards. And early on in the report card, people like, it went up 0.1 and you're excited about that? That's really depressing. How do you stay motivated to do this report card? I said, look, if we don't do this, along with all the other advocacy and education and networking and development that we do in the space with many other partners, it would go backwards. So I'm, you know, any increase is a win in my book.
Absolutely. And in our Select 7 data, which are, like I said earlier, some of the most powerful, prominent conferences like the ACC, the Big Ten, Pac-12, which future report cards, we will need to reconfigure this Select 7. But the American Conference, Big East, Big 12, SEC, that also, again, went up huge compared to last year. Last year, we were at 46%. This year, we were at 47.4%. So in between 1 year, we had 1.4% growth, which is incredible.
Yeah. And the really cool part about this data set is that with that, what we call the Select 7 conferences, we have longitudinal data for all those schools in those conferences in terms of the percentage of women that have been hired, the how many have turned over, you know, who hired who. I mean, the richness of this data set is really compelling.
Right. It almost feels like we're kind of just tapping the surface of that with what we cover in the report card.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about coach turnover. So one of the things we track is when a coach leaves and a new coach is hired, we track who is replacing who by race and gender. So what did we find in this year's report card for all of Division I?
For all Division I, so between 2021 and 22, and currently in 2023, 2024, we had a 24.5% turnover rate, which meant that 905 positions turned over the past 2 years. And overall, the average yearly turnover rate is usually about 9.3. So 24.5% over 2 years is a bit higher, but obviously we don't know the exact reason why, but we can kind of hypothesize that COVID might have had something to do with that. Extreme changes in college sports over the past few years, conference realignment, budget cuts, things like that might have really severely increased that turnover rate.
NIL, the landscape of college sports is changing. And you mentioned Hannah Silva Breen, but she and I did a paper where we tracked turnover rates. And, you know, on average, it's about, you know, 10 to 12% per year. So that makes sense because we're doing it in 2 years. So I also can say that what we know from the data is that the college head coaching workforce is aging, and there are a lot of retirements happening. So for those of you that are listening, there's a lot of job opportunities coming down the pipeline.
Yes. And why it's so important, arguably this is probably one of the most important stats in the whole report, the turnover rate is so valuable because this is really highlights the opportunities to hire a woman. So you can only hire a woman when a position opens up or if a new program's added, but most often it's when a position opens through someone retiring, leaving, things like that. And really positive this year is that the 49.5% of all vacancies were filled by women. So again, I would have loved to see 50%. It's so frustrating to have just 0.5 below 50%, but that means that 448 of those 905 positions were filled by women, which has done wonders in increasing that rate of women coaches in the NCAA.
Yeah, and that's really changed over 12 years. You can see the longitudinal data graph in the report. Okay, let's switch over to sports. So we give grades to sports conferences and institutions, A through F, for the percentage of women head coaches of women's teams. And every year we have some A's and we have some F's and most of the sports in between. So yay to the A's. Acrobatics and tumbling get 100%. Now they're an emerging sport and there's only a few programs so far, but all of the programs are coached by women, followed by lacrosse, equestrian, field hockey, softball, rugby, and gymnastics all have A's.
Insert applause sound.
Okay, so Anna, why don't you talk about, well, I'll talk about the F's and then you talk about the sports that you think might have some history of why they have the grade they have. So swimming, fencing, alpine skiing, squash, cross country, and track and field all have F's. Now, to get an F, you have to have 24% or less of your head coaches of women. To get an A, you need 70% or above, which we explain in the report card. Now, I do have to say, I'm going to call out diving. For the first time, diving moved up to a D, and they're not an F. So, again, insert applause. All right, Anna, over to you.
Yeah, I find probably the sport data most fascinating to me. And I find that when we do presentations about the report card data all the time to students, to athletes, coaches, things like that. And definitely the eyes perk up when the sport graph comes up because everyone's trying to find their sport, right? Everyone wants to know how volleyball is doing, how tennis is doing. And I sense that there's a lot of kind of reflecting on people's own experiences in their sport when they see their grade. So for example, I played soccer. And so it's not surprising to me based on my experiences in soccer that soccer is at a D with 32.5%. Soccer has a history of male leadership, whereas compared to other sports like basketball, field hockey, lacrosse that have historically done really, really well, those have more cultures, especially in this post Title IX era, where those are sports that women entered into that didn't have as much, or not basketball really, but lacrosse and field hockey have a much higher, women entered those sports in droves compared to men after Title IX. So it makes sense when you think about that, how the grades illuminate different unique aspects about sport cultures.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm looking at field hockey that is an A right now, and they're at 82.7%. But when we started the report card, they were at 100%.
Oh, wow.
And they've been sort of gradually going down over the last couple of years, even though they're still an A. But from conversations I've had with people in the field hockey community is because a lot of the assistants are being hired, men are being hired from Europe to be the assistants. And now those men are moving into head coaching positions at big institutions. So that's a trend we should keep our eye on. And I do have to say, yay for tennis, my sport, went from a D to a C this year. And they are at 39.4% of head coaches of women's teams are women.
Go tennis.
Go tennis.
I also think it's impressive that ice hockey, which is traditionally a very male-dominated sport, they went up to a B at 55.2%. So that's pretty impressive as well. So we're seeing a lot of growth in the sport area.
We are. And that's why the percent of women keeps going up, and that's shown in the sports. And I will say, early in the report card, ice hockey was a D. They might have even been an F. So there are some sports that are doing really well. And I have to say, there are some sports that have been an F and have always been an F. And you know who you are. Okay, now let's talk about institutions. Well, let's talk about conferences first. So we have all the Division I conferences, and we look at their percentage. And every time we look at all of Division I, the Ivy League is always at the top of the list. And that is still true this year at 59.2%. They're a B. We've never had an A as a conference. And we have our first F this year, which is the Horizon League. They went from a D to an F. So sorry, Horizon League. But Anna, what do you find most interesting about the conference data?
Something really exciting this year is that, yes, like you said, Ivy League has consistently had top grade, but two conferences have joined the Ivy League into the B grade, which is the Big Ten and Mountain West. So kudos to those conferences. But yes, as you can tell from the data, the vast majority of conferences sit in that C range. 59.4% of conferences have a C.
Yeah. And because, you know, we're at the University of Minnesota and it's a Big Ten school, which I wonder if they're going to rename the Big Ten, because I've lost track of how many schools are in the Big Ten now, but it's more than 10. But it'll be interesting to see when we redo the data this next year with the addition of the new schools, UCLA and USC, to see if that helps or hinders the Big Ten percentage. But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, well, Pac-12 sits at a 50.6, which is a pretty high C, So compared to their other conferences. So I could see some growth.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to check the schools, but yeah.
Well, you know what? We're going to let data tell the story.
Yeah, so that's a teaser for next year.
Okay, so let's go to institutions. I got to get to that. So how many of our institutions had A's this year?
We had the most A's ever this year with 29 institutions of the 362 that we tracked, which is 8%, had an A grade. And shout out to Austin Peay State University and University of Central Florida, which had the highest percentage of women head coaches of their women's teams with 88.9%.
Yes. And we had one school, one. This is a historic, that went from an F to an A in 2 years, University of Maryland, Eastern Shores. Amazing. And I don't know the AD there. Go Shorehawks. Tara Owens, who's the athletic director there. Tara, if you're listening, let's have a chat, because I really want to know how this happened. But kudos to you and your team.
Yeah, that's incredible over 2 years to see that type of growth. And luckily, we're seeing some growth trending from a lot of schools with 89 institutions, which is 25% increased their grade from the last report card to this year. And shout out Siri Wilkes, who is a gender equity summer intern and freshman at the University of Minnesota,
woo-woo,
who collected this data and made this beautiful chart that you'll see on page 12 in the report card.
The first ever shift table in the history of the Women in College Coaching Report Card. We're very proud. So Siri, kudos to you. Love that shift table. Okay, let's go to Women Coaches of Color. This is the fourth year we have collected racial identity data. And what story does this tell, Anna?
Yeah, overall, women coaches of color are dramatically and disproportionately underrepresented compared to white coaches. white coaches hold the vast majority of head coach positions, with 81.1% of head coach positions are held by white people. And women of color are dramatically underrepresented, and typically around the 5-6% mark. This year, we have seen a pretty strong increase of 8.3% of all coaching head coach positions in women's sports are held by women coaches of color, which is 308 positions. So exciting that we're seeing change, but still very, very low numbers.
Yeah. And we know that those women are clustered in certain sports and perhaps in certain conferences of the historically Black colleges and universities. So this is something we'll keep tracking. But what's interesting, I don't know if it's interesting, it's maybe appalling, is that seven sports had zero women head coaches of color. Yeah, dramatic pause of silence for that, which means that athletes in some sports are not having same identity role models and are being coached by women that look like them, which we know from the data is problematic.
And something to add on, another dramatic stat is that 174 institutions have zero women coaches of color on their staff. So to add to your similar point that not enough athletes are having same identity role models.
And here's one of the things that this is a little bit of a call to action for athletic directors. There are a lot of talented women coaches of color. You have to go out and recruit them if that is of value to you. And We Coach will be happy to help with that. And when you bring women and women with dual marginalized identities into your culture, make sure they feel supported and valued and give them the support that they need to be successful in your institutions. I know, because I have a lot of conversations with women when they're looking for a new job. We know pay is the number one thing they're looking at, but they're also looking at the culture. Is this a place where I see people like me? And is this a place where I'm going to feel valued and supported and given the resources to succeed? So what other stat do we need to talk about that we haven't got to yet, Anna?
Well, I know that you get this question all the time, and I've certainly got it in the times I've talked about the report card, is when are we going to be done? When are we going to stop this mission of counting all these coaches from across the country? And when are we going to be happy with the rate? And I would be happy with 100%, obviously, but I think especially that 50% mark is something that is our key goal right now, to make sure that at least 50% of the women's collegiate sports teams in the NCAA Division I are coached by women, and that all athletes, male or female, have the opportunity to be coached by a woman. And what's exciting about our growth rate this year with that 1.9% overall is that if we keep going at this rate, within the next decade, we will easily hit that 50% mark.
Yeah, and when I started this, I think it was if we increased at the rate we were going, it would take 77 years until we even hit 50%. So I'm excited by the accelerated change. And I do get that question a lot. You know, when are you and the Tucker team going to be happy, Dr. Lavoie? And, you know, I'm not saying that men shouldn't coach women, but I would love a gender balanced workforce for not only female athletes, but male athletes. And we're nowhere near that on the men's side, but I would least it like in my lifetime to get to 50-50 and then see if we can keep increasing it from there. Okay, well, that's a lot of data for one podcast. So that's a wrap for this episode of Tucker Center Talks, a podcast produced by Tucker teammate Lindsay Hoffer. Thanks, Lindsay. Be sure to check out our many free evidence-based resources at tuckercenter.org. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Thank you for listening to Tucker Center Talks. As we wrap, give yourself grace, support others, and let the data tell the story in ways that help us accelerate systems change for girls and women in sport. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie.
And I'm Anna Gorovich.
We're signing off to make a difference in the lives of girls and women in sport.